I say open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading from there this morning. I'd like to take this time to thank the members here at this North Dakota Church of Christ for allowing the opportunity to come to preach to you all this morning. I know it is a privilege to come and do those things, and I love to come together and pray, to study God's Word with you all, to sing songs of praise to our God who is so worthy of those things. And you sit back and think of that, and it's only just a foretaste of what heaven will be like for all of us. If you are visiting with us this morning, I am not the preacher here. I'm just filling in, and you'll find that out soon enough. But I ask that you would follow along in your Bible with what we have to say this morning. Romans chapter 8. And the title of our lesson this morning is, What is Your Mindset? What we'll discuss this morning is our attitude, our mindset. And the question I would ask is, do we think that our mindset, our attitude as a Christian is something that is important? The things that we dwell on, the things that we talk about, the things that we think about, the things that we enjoy in our life, are those things important? Are we shining as lights in the world? Are we the salt of the earth? And if you open your Bible to Romans chapter 8, let's hear what Paul has to say about this. Romans chapter 8, begin reading in verse 5. Paul tells his brethren in Rome there, For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I think that we would all think that the proper mindset of a Christian is something that is important. And Paul tells his brother in Rome here that you have two directions you can set your mind. The things of the flesh or the things of the spirit. The things of the devil, the things of this world, the things that are not going to get you anywhere in life, or the things of spiritual nature, the things that are going to be eternal, the things that are going to be lasting forever, the things of God. You can set your minds on those things. And obviously God will want us to have us to set the things upon Him, the things of His Word. We all understand the consequences of a positive or negative mindset. And Henry Ford has a famous quote. He says, Whether you think you can or think you can't, you are right. And I think there's a lot to be said in that. And what he is saying is, whether you think positively or negatively, whatever one it may be, that is probably the one that you're going to accomplish. You sit back and think that I can't teach an adult Bible class. I can't preach a sermon, which is true. I can't sing a song. I can't convert my brother or my sister. I can't go to work and talk about God. When we sit back and think, I can't do this, I can't do that, it's never going to happen. Paul says, set your minds on things of the Spirit. If you pray to God, if you read His Word like you should be doing, you can do those things. So the question again is, what is your mindset this morning? As children of God, we need to develop and maintain the proper mindset that we can make the choices in our lives that will be pleasing to God. We need the attitude that we will remain faithful, that we will receive the crown of life and enter into heaven. We also need to be able to train others. Oftentimes, you may hear Christians say, well, I can't teach, I can't do these things. We need to have the proper mindset to do those things. What if Jesus sat back and told his Father, I can't teach these people, they're not listening to me. They reject me, they laugh at me, they scoff me, they spit on me, they beat me, they hang me on a cross. I can't do these things. Would there be any hope for us? Think about your situation. What if nobody taught you the gospel message? Where would you be? Thank goodness that I had somebody who had the mindset of a Christian. Somebody whose mind was set on the Spirit. So I could have my sins washed away. This morning I want to make 5 points that I think that a mindset of Christians should be concentrated on, and this lesson will be yours. And the first one this morning is, the mind of a Christian will not accept error. We'll be using the book of Philippians quite often in our lesson this morning, so if you have a marker in your Bible or a piece of paper or whatever you have, would you please place that there in the book of Philippians? The mind of a Christian is one that will seek truth. We're going to have the mindset that truth is preeminent, that truth is first place in our things, that truth is important. I will not accept error. That is the mind of a Christian. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, notice what Paul says to his brother in Philippi. only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, what type of mindset was Paul telling his brother in the Philippi to have? He says to be of one mind, striving for the faith revealed in the gospel. One that would stand fast for the faith in the gospel. And you think about Paul and the conditions he was in when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Paul was in prison, but he wasn't just in prison. He was in prison in Rome, probably the worst place in this time to be in prison. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. He had been chased by his countrymen. He had been hungry. And Paul says some 16 times in this four-chapter letter, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Why does Paul say these things? Why is he telling these brethren there to have this mindset, to be of one mind, to seek truth, strive for unity among yourselves? Because he knew if you did these things, you would be in heaven one day with your heavenly Father. Now, the question is, would it be easy for these brethren to do this? Was it easy for Paul to say it? Is it easy for us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit? I don't think so. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. So would it be easy for these Christians? No, they were being persecuted. They were being chased. They were being killed for their faith in God. And Paul knew this. But remember what he told the brethren there in Corinth? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. The same type of message there. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So Paul was constantly, continuously reminding the brethren that we need to have a mind that is always striving and seeking for truth. Paul says that you might have to suffer, you might face persecution, you might have these problems. It's not going to be easy because of this. But Paul told them to have the proper mindset towards it. What is your mindset towards trials and temptations and persecutions? Do we just step back and throw our hands in the air and say, woe is me, I can't handle this. Why is this happening to me? We've all done it. I know I've done it. But we have some examples in the Bible of Christians who are going through various things. And did they do that? Think about those Christians in the first century in Acts chapter 8. The God had 3,000 souls saved in the first day, and the church is growing, and God is adding to their number. And then what happens? Saul comes along, starts persecuting the church, dragging these people out, killing them for their faith. Did they stop? Acts chapter 8 says they went around scattered, still preaching the message of the gospel. All the time, we don't have a problem with our mindset when we have smooth sailing, everything's going right for us. But what happens when persecution comes? What happens when somebody comes and wants to refute your doctrine, wants to talk to you about this? How do we react to that? Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. You see, these Christians here in Philippi have the same type of problems. They had to face the threat of Judaizing teachers. And these teachers were contentious and argumentative. They were coming to their assemblies and change their doctrine and make things hard for them. And it wasn't going to be easy for them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Listen to what Paul tells them there in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, but is a safeguard for you. Verse 2, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So you can see why they were going to have to work to have the proper mindset, to strive, to make an effort to have the things that God would have them to do as a mindset of a Christian. What is involved in striving to have the proper mindset of a Christian? Turn over to the book of Jude. And let's look at verse 3. Jude, verse 3. He has written down for us, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which is once for all handed down to the saints. You think about the word contend, and what comes to mind? You might think about a boxer. He's contending with the other boxer. You think about a wrestler. He's contending with the other wrestler. And he's going to win somehow. So you have to know the foe. You have to fight to win. That's what Jude is telling these Christians. You have to contend earnestly for the faith. And what does that entail? You have to know the truth. You have to hold fast to the truth. You have to defend the truth. You have to know what truth is. We are going to have to put forth some effort to contend for that truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved by God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. If we're going to have a mind that doesn't accept error, we need to know and learn what truth is. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at the first few verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. You see, Paul was concerned with the brethren of Corinth that they might be turned away from the faith and they might accept error, that their faith might be in vain. And listen to what he said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you also stand, by which you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. What were they standing in, the brethren of Corinth? Verse 1 says, they were standing in the gospel. What does the gospel mean? It's the saving message of Christ. It means good news. Good news that you can have your sins washed away. Paul says, you're standing in this. Don't give up. Keep going. Do not accept error. Keep preaching truth. We don't want to be of those whose faith are in vain because we don't stand fast for the word of truth that has been revealed to us by the word of God. You see, we must speak out against error and try to correct those who are in opposition to the truth, Paul says. Do you have the mindset that Paul is trying to instill in these brethren? Or are you dissatisfied to come to church? Everything that the preacher says is okay because the preacher says it. Everything Jeffrey says this morning is right because Jeffrey thinks it's right. Are you opening your Bible and reading what God's word has to say? Finding it to be true? That's the things that Paul is talking to his brother about. You need to read and study and find these things to be true on your own. To know what the gospel really says. And know what Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oftentimes, Paul considered Timothy to be a son in the faith. And listen to what he tells Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning reading in verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, that perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Not only must we reject error, but we must take the truth and try to correct those who are in error and have the proper mindset towards that. We are to be gentle. So the mind of a Christian must be one that will not accept error. The one that is a mind that loves the truth and knows what it is and is willing to defend it when that situation comes about. Second point this morning. The mind of a Christian will not rest on past accomplishments. We will not rest on past accomplishments, but we will continually seek to serve the Lord. We won't rest on our past failures and let that prevent us from moving forward. We won't let previous accomplishments prevent us from moving forward. But we will keep pressing. We'll keep reaching right to the very end. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Let's begin reading there in verse 12. Now, if you think about the Apostle Paul, and think about everything he did as a worker for the Lord, you would probably rank him pretty high, would you? You would most definitely give him pretty high marks. He was one who went on different missionary journeys, was persecuted, and proclaimed the gospel in difficult situations that I hope we never have to face. We rank Paul pretty high, but Paul didn't rest on what he accomplished, did he? He didn't go around and say, well, I was beat for God's message, so worship me. I didn't go on all these different missionary journeys, so I'm better than you. No, Paul wasn't into promoting himself, but rather promoting the gospel of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or I have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This was the mindset displayed by Paul. That he was constantly trying to reach forward. He was never satisfied where he was in his relationship with God. And I'm afraid, brethren, that this has a strangle on some of those in the church nowadays, that we were dissatisfied. Brethren, just become satisfied, and that's their mindset. That wasn't the attitude of the Apostle Paul. And that wasn't what he was telling his brethren in Philippi. Because you keep reaching, you keep fighting, you keep seeking truth, you keep growing. And why was he encouraging them to do these type things? Look at the beginning of verse 15 of Philippians chapter 3. Let us therefore, as many are you as perfect, have this attitude. Paul more or less is saying, have this mindset. That you will not rest on past accomplishments, but you will keep reaching forward. You will keep wanting to learn. You keep wanting to know what God's Word has to say. Paul's exhorting them to press on so they can get to maturity. They can get to perfection. This is the New American Standard. This is the type of mindset Paul expected the brethren there to have. And overall, Paul is commending them for the work they have lived by. He is rejoicing what they have been involved in. He is thanking them for their generous contributions time and time again so that he could go and do these different missionary journeys. But he's saying, don't rest on these things. Keep growing. Keep learning. Keep doing what God's Word says. Never be satisfied. Turn back over to Philippians chapter 1. And let's read verses 3 through 11. And let's pay particular attention to verse 9 when we get there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work and you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all to be with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more real knowledge and all discernment. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, does Paul say, you've done a great job. You've gave me all this money. You've converted all these people to Christianity. That's good enough. Sit back right there. You've done enough. Don't do any more. That's good enough. What does Paul say? Keep growing. Keep learning. Keep growing in the knowledge of God. Keep pressing on. We need to continue to abound. That's why we need to check our mindset. These brethren were doing well, but they could still do better. You may be doing well in your relationship with God, and that's great, but you can still do better. I may be doing well in my relationship with God, and that's good, but I can still do better. That's what Paul's message was to those Philippians there. We always need to see room for improvement in our relationship with Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 13 through 16. Paul's writing to the church there at Ephesus, and he's saying the same type of message there for them as well. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossing here and there by waves and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is ahead, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Did you notice what Paul says? We are no longer children, tossed here and there. My friends influence me to do this, and I do this, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to do that. No, Paul says we grow up in the knowledge of in the love of Christ, so that we can know what truth is, and that we can continue to grow and know what he would have us to do. We can't afford the mind of spiritual retirement. And this is the mindset that Paul's speaking of, that we need to continue to grow. Next point this morning. The mind of a Christian is one that is humble and lowly. This is a prerequisite to being a Christian, is to be humble. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, and let's notice verse 3 there. Paul tells us, brother Philippi, I do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Note the context that Paul's pointing out and contrasting between the lowliness of mind, humility, and selfish ambition and conceit. Now, people who are selfish, they want everything their way. You see, that could cause a problem in the church. You remember in 3 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Diotrephes? What did he do? The Apostle John says that I wrote some things to you, but the Diotrephes, who desires to be first among you all, will not accept what I have written to you. And those people there, he goes later on to say that, don't accept what he says. He throws them out of the church because he wanted to have the preeminence amongst them all. And one thing that I know is somebody who is selfish thinks highly of themselves, and they think better of themselves than you. Paul says, don't have that attitude. Don't have the what's in it for me attitude. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse 21. Paul was an apostle approved by Jesus, and he was a preacher of truth among the Gentiles. Yet Paul was not into self-promotion. Paul promoted the gospel and promoted Christ. He did not promote himself. He was humble and lowly. Verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was not trying to promote Paul, but he was trying to promote Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. What was he saying there? If I'm going to live, if God grants me another day to live on this earth, I'm living it for him. I'm living it for his son. And if I die, that is great gain for me. You think he went around saying, well, God has given me another day to live. I'm going to go and promote Paul. All these different things I've done, all these different churches I've set up. No, Paul was humble and lowly. He was more concerned about his brethren than he was himself. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We need to check our minds and see if we are doing those type of things. If we are doing things to be seen by men, if we're doing things to please our Father who is in heaven. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 21. Paul here is talking about those things, and he uses Timothy as an example who would do something not to seek his own, but the things of Christ. And he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, for they all seek after their own interests, not of those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served me, furthered me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. Paul says, I am sending Timothy because he sincerely cares for you. He will tell me exactly what's going on with you. Timothy was not in promoting himself. He was a young gospel preacher. He was an evangelist, and that's what Paul told him to do, right? To promote himself? No. Timothy was one who was willing to serve. Paul tells the brethren there in Rome that Timothy has a proper mindset of a Christian. He says, Timothy is my son in the faith, and he is humble and lowly. He sincerely cares for you, just as I do, and he's going to tell me how you all are doing. Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. And again, I want to tell you that anyone who practices self-promotion thinks higher of themselves than they do of you. Think about the people who you have interacted with. It's all about them. It's all about me. We cannot have this attitude to proclaim Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. What does that mean? Don't think higher of anybody else. I'm no better than Mr. Carr. I'm no better than John. I'm no better than Mr. Randy. See, we are all Christians striving for the same thing. We're all trying to get to heaven. Paul says, why not build each other up to do those things? Let's try to get to heaven. Let's be humble and lowly. And he says, do not be wise in your own estimation. Remember what we said earlier about Christians trying to impress men, what they do instead of trying to impress Christ? Well, whose mind should we be wise in? We should be wise in the mind of God. Point number four this morning. The mind of a Christian is one that sincerely cares for others. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 once again. And we read verse 3 earlier, but now we will read verse 3 and 4 together. We have to possess the ability to put others first, and that is hard to do if we lack humility. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Paul says the mindset of a Christian is one that allows us to put the needs of others first. And he says later on there, if we skip down to verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2, he again uses Timothy as an example. And he says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will generally be concerned for your welfare. Do you think Paul sincerely cared for those brethren in Philippi? Do you think Paul sincerely cared for all the churches that he set up? All these churches that he wrote letters to? Paul uses Timothy as an example of one who would care for others. And that's the type of mindset that we, as Christians, need to have. Turn back over again to the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Jesus, of course, is our greatest example of humility. Paul uses Timothy, but describes Jesus as our greatest example of one who had the ability to humbly serve the Lord and do His will, to put others first. Who are those others? That's us. That's me. That's you. See, he left his home. He left the riches of heaven to come to this world, to be rejected, again, to be laughed at, to be spat upon, to be scourged, to carry his cross, to be found guilty for something that he did not do, to have a crown of thorns stabbed into his head, to have a spear driven into his side, to have nails driven into his hands. For what? Why did he do these things? Because he sincerely cared for others. He wanted you and me to be saved. Just sit back and think about that. I was thinking about those words that Brother Randy said at the Lord's table this morning. Sometimes I don't think we concentrate hard enough on what Christ did for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was recently married on Friday. And I sit back and think, would I be willing to die for my wife? She's good to me. She does everything I ask her to do. She does that and more. And I sit back and think, would I die for my wife? Or would I be a coward? Think about Jesus. He had everything he needed. He was God in the flesh. We were sinners. We rejected him. We beat him. We killed him. We laughed at him. And he still died for us. Amazing love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Listen to these words that Paul has written down for us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this attitude. What's he talking about? Have this mindset to sincerely care for others. Paul says, have this attitude, have this mindset yourself, which was also in who? In Christ Jesus. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But what did he do? He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death